When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Station.
Oh, a microphone.
And a phony at the mic.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You think I'm some dummy off the street? Yeah, my era is everything. No, I cover all eras. My nickname, Mr. Era.
Jeff Lutz.
I've been around for 34 years. Longer than most people.
34 years to me is, that happened yesterday. Not in your lifetime.
There's no alternate history where that could have been achieved.
97.5 in 1240 KFH.
What are we talking about?
My mind is elsewhere.
Welcome again, everybody. It's a Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power, as always, producing, engineering, 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. Don't forget to get to IHOP, where they're having all-you-can-eat pancakes through the 15th of this month. So still another 10 days left in that promotion.
You're going to run out of pancakes.
What's up? You didn't seal the deal last night against Kansas
cares?
City.
2-3. All you need to do is win series at this point. If you keep winning series, you'll stay on top. You'll get to the playoffs. You'll probably get that.
Gave the Royals a little hope. Tommy Pham with the big hit in that one.
It's always a home run off Ben Lively, and usually he's able to maybe make it a solo shot or a two-run shot, but this time it was a three-run shot.
You guys, you've bad-mouthed on the show.
Who?
Tommy Pham, Seth Lugo team up to win the game
Seth
for the
Lugo
Royals.
Didn't do anything. We put a bad lineup out there, and that's what you get.
Well, what lineup do you have that's not bad?
One that includes John Kinsey Noel. One that includes Josh Naylor.
Oh, man. Anyway, you got 2 of 3, as you said. But now, Royals feel a little better about themselves.
Maybe.
Day off today. They go to Yankee Stadium over the weekend to face the Yankees. I'm familiar with that. The Cardinals did it last weekend.
Cardinals playing well against some good teams.
Yeah, I don't get it, but this is baseball, and Paul Goldschmidt has found something. Now, the question becomes, are the Cardinals going to find money to pay him?
I don't know.
He's a pending free agent.
He's turning 37?
Do you trust the guy?
I wouldn't if he's...
Do you do a one-year deal for $15 million and say that's
it? For what, though? He's not a sentimental guy. It's not like he spent his whole career there. You have other options at first base. He hasn't led you to anything. So I just don't understand what the point of that
would be.
The
guy can hit.
I understand he can hit. But
the guy's hitting.
Let's turn the page.
And the guy's hitting. You know, you like a guy that can hit, and this guy's hitting.
It only took him 5 months. You want to go through that again?
I don't want to go through that again, but what if this is...
You want to go through it with Arenado?
Arenado's been okay.
But
you can live with Arenado.
But he's on the decline. He's not going to get any better.
He's on the decline, but he's okay. And you have to live with Nolan Arenado. He's signed for 3 more years. So that's not even a debate.
I understand.
Goldschmidt's a debate.
But you're already going through it with one veteran who's, again, not going to probably lead you to anything.
I don't mind the idea of Alec Burleson and Lucan Baker platooning at first base next year.
Doesn't Burleson, is he only a platoon guy? Does he not hit lefties?
Hit left-handers very well. Crushes right-handers. Lucan Baker crushes left-handers.
That could help.
So maybe that's the way they go. And then Burleson can DH, and he can play the outfield. He's a versatile guy. We'll see.
You got some options.
I'm not going to get hung up on
Lucan
it right
Baker's
now.
Baker's my age, but other than that, he should be okay.
He's 27. And he's been very good since they brought him up. They should have brought him up months ago.
Well, I told you that about Kyle Manzardi. He said, well, just be happy he's up now. And that's not the way I operate.
Well, I try to win.
I want to put my best team on the field every night.
What I try to do is win. I'm all about it.
Well, you've been failing.
And I'm not in that Cleveland mindset.
Obviously, you are.
So we have picks today, our second week. And if week one is any indication, Jeff's going to have a whale of a year.
I doubt it is.
He was 5-3 last week, leads it with 25 points. Max had 5-3, 18 points. Duda, 4-4, but for 20. The big fella, Anthony, 4-4 for 16. And I went a miserable 2-6 for 12 points.
You got some of your big ones, so that helps.
No, I'm not happy with it.
What'd you get, your 5-7 or your 8-4?
5-7, Georgia, KU, that's it. My 8 was A&M.
Hate that for
you. Completely dropped the ball.
The 8 this week should be fairly obvious, but...
Well, we'll see. When we get to picks, we'll see what's obvious and what's not.
How many games are we picking?
9 this week.
No Colorado, Nebraska.
Nope.
That's too bad.
At 225 today, Scott Merkin, who covers the White Sox for MLB.com. We've had Scott on the show to preview the White Sox a few times in the past years. But now we're going to have him on to talk about what it's like covering a team that's going to set a record for losses. Although last night, they hammered Baltimore.
Weird.
Hammered them. I watched a little of that game, the beginning, a couple innings, and they just took it to the Orioles.
Who pitched for the White Sox?
Some kid. Blonde-haired, locks. Some kid who pitched when they broke their 20-what-game losing streak?
21.
22, I think.
It's 21, but that's all right.
No, I don't think it was.
Okay.
Look it up.
You can think whatever you want.
I heard it. I heard him just talked about today.
Well, you heard it wrong.
And then he pitched last night as they broke a 12-game losing streak.
Well, he's the stopper. Maybe he should pitch every night.
But I can't remember his name. But Scott Merkin from MLB.com will join us. I'm just curious what this season's been like for him. What is it?
21.
Nah, it's 22. At 2:45, Dusty Trail, the head football coach at Bishop Carroll. As we continue talking to high school football coaches, the season begins tonight in some places, but in earnest tomorrow night all over the state of Kansas. And that Catch It Kansas crew, I'm sure, will be out en masse tomorrow. Am I right about that?
As far as I know.
You got nothing to do with that anymore?
No, I kind of decided I'm going to step away from that for at least this year, from the Catch It Kansas aspect.
What gives
of the
you
show?
The option to decide what you're going to do?
The option is that's not my shift, and I'm going to work my shift, and that's what I want to do.
Well, why'd you do it last year?
Well, it's different circumstances. My kid's coming back, I believe, tomorrow. So we'll hang out with her for a couple days, and I'll go see the Eagles on a Friday. I'll go. I got to work next Friday with the wind surge. It's just not really lining up as well this year, but we'll look at it again next year and see how it goes.
Well, I don't understand why you get to make those calls.
Because it's my shift.
If I was the employer, what I'd say is I don't care what you got going on. You're in for Friday Night Lights.
Maybe next year. Maybe I'll go out a game or two this year and cover something. And we'll see. But I cannot commit to a full-time.
Will I make it to a high school game this season? Yes or no?
No.
Why do you say
it
that?
Did you make it to one last year?
Why do you say it with that emphatic?
Because you couldn't even go see your Springfield Cardinals. That didn't even entice you to get up off your couch or your chair. You know, if the Akron Rubber Ducks were playing here, I'd go see them every night.
I feel like I keep in very close touch with the Cardinals farm teams. And AA Springfield this year, while they had Tink Hintz and they had Quinn Matthews for a while, they don't really have any prospects on that team.
Yeah, Brian Torres, he's okay.
He's 27. He's not a prospect.
Oh, you just said Lucan Baker was...
Yeah, Lucan Baker's been up, but Lucan Baker's fine. Lucan Baker.
Why is Brian Torres in AA if he's playing that well in AA?
Don't ask me, because they got the outfield covered in AAA.
Well, then he needs to go to a different organization.
Well, maybe he will. I don't know. I think he's a 1 year. I don't know. I mean,
he was there last year. Are you sure? He's 27.
No, he wasn't there last year.
Of course he was.
But he's had a good year for him, but he's not a prospect.
If you say so.
I mean, maybe you'll give him a chance. I mean, they got a lot of guys in front of him. He's not on their top 30 prospect list. He's 27. Nobody, you're not a prospect. If you're a double A when you're 27, you're not a prospect.
Okay, but he's hitting 324. He's
great. We appreciate
32
it.
Steals. He doesn't need to be in double A. Give the kid a challenge.
We'll give you a cookie.
Last year he was with the Milwaukee Milkmen.
Right. He came out of independent ball. And they've taken a look at him, and once they get to the offseason, maybe they'll decide that he's a guy they want to add to the 40-man.
What do you think he hit for the Milkmen?
Probably 317.
He's hitting 324 in double A.
Yeah, the Milkmen is a good pitching.
He's hitting he hit 371.
Listen, it's a good league they play in.
The American Association?
That's where the Windsor or the Wing Nuts played.
Yes.
Is that league still alive?
Of course it is.
So that's one of the teams in it.
The Milwaukee Milkmen. Yes, they've added some teams. They got the Chicago Dogs. A couple others that they've added.
Who else is in it? Any of the originals? The Lincoln?
Lincoln's in it. Cleburne. You know who's in it. All the teams. I'll tell you right now who's in it.
Those were the days. Somebody ought to write a book.
Sioux City's in it. Sioux Falls. Winnipeg. All these teams are in it.
Somebody ought to write a book about the Wichita years in the American Association playing independent.
No one would read that book.
Why not?
Kane County's in it. Remember them from the Oakland Athletics
Kane.
Organization?
I remember Kane County.
The Lake County Dockhounds are in the league. Kansas City Monarchs.
Well, they've been in it a while.
Yeah.
All right. I can get with that. That's not bad. Tonight, we have the kickoff of the NFL season. We've talked about the Chiefs and Ravens a lot. We are now at the point where we're going to be picking that game a little bit later. Kansas City, a narrow favorite, I believe 2.5. I don't want you to divulge, but I have a very strong feeling about the team that's going to win tonight.
Well, winning isn't everything. There's a line on that game that could swing some picks one way or the other, depending on how confident you feel about a score.
No, I have a feeling about the winner.
Well, that's fine.
Strong feeling.
That doesn't necessarily mean that whoever that team is will cover a spread of, 3.5?
But when you have a strong feeling about the winner, it would indicate that you believe that line is not enough.
Maybe.
Wouldn't that be the... If I'm going to stop the show and cause people to pull over in their cars or wherever they are.
They won't.
And say, I wonder what his strong feeling is.
Why would they pull over for that?
Because they care.
You can care while driving.
If I have a strong feeling, you're so threatened by me.
Threatened?
One of the greatest things about this show is that.
That you talk nonsense and I call you out on it?
Yes, I love it.
Okay, well, because it
works every time.
If that means threatened to you, then sure.
Max, get on.
Does he have to? What is he going to say? What is he going to offer?
Hello.
I don't know what he's going to... Hey, Max. Max
Hi.
Back. By the way, I found out just a bit ago that Max is going to be out for the next 2 weeks starting Monday.
I hate that.
What the hell? I mean, what the heck, Max?
I need the ocean. I need to go home.
Well, I understand that. More power to you. So, on my assertion that I can press Jeff's buttons pretty easily, do you agree or disagree?
I agree, but it's
whose
fine.
Button is being pushed right now, though? The guy who makes a huge point of someone's button being pushed?
Yeah, you guys push each other's buttons
constantly. Sitting over here calmly.
You guys are...
Say that again, Max. Jeff was...
You guys push each other buttons constantly. It's great.
Well, Jeff has more buttons push.
It's beating happen.
No,
to make,
I don't know about that.
You know, I shouldn't say
Thank
this.
Thank you, Max.
It beats having to make a promo about Hawaiian shirts.
There's Max, who just spells it out.
Sure he does.
Says it like he sees it.
I mean, why not?
And I think he agreed with me on that.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, we got that game tonight. You guys coming over for it?
I don't know. That's a pretty late start.
Really? Well, so that we're already in the whining mode about
not really whining, but that won't be at halftime till 9 o'clock, and then,
well, that's what I said. You stay the first half.
You got to go wind down. You got, I mean, stuff.
Wind down.
If you got to order also a gluten free pizza
from
wherever you want.
Ziggy's have gluten free.
Yes.
Well, then that's where I'd order it from.
Well, Ziggy's, get pepperoni, or you can.
Well, I gotta have verification that you're coming.
We'll discuss it. I was told it's a tentative yes.
Well, why? Listen, I think Shannon's awesome, but what's your vote on it?
It's a tentative no.
Really?
I don't know, man. That's late.
Well, that's just awful.
I got a new couch that I enjoy lying on, and real comfortable, and my cats over there that hang out. So it's hard to just, you know, get up.
So what are the chances you'll take me up on our offer?
What's the offer?
To come over, have pizza, stay for the first half.
33 1/3%.
That you will?
Yeah.
If Shannon was answering, what would she say?
27.5%.
Really?
Yeah.
So I thought she had the tentative yes.
I don't know how she's feeling today. Should I text her and ask?
You know, I remember, I hearken back to when my parents were alive. Hearken. I like to hearken. There's my pushing the button again. I go back to that time, and there weren't that many. I wish some memories were clearer. But I had to drive all the way to Derby to see my parents. And it seems like I did that at least twice a week.
Really?
Now, maybe I'm. And that was before you were born. It seems that way. Now, all my friends lived in Derby. So it was kind of, well, I'll stop in and say hi to the folks.
Well, what were you doing? You worked.
Yeah, but I was young, man. I was getting around.
So when you're young and you can do anything, hey, I'll go visit my parents.
No, I went to Derby to see my friends, but I was able to visit my parents.
Well, usually you were visiting them to drop me off over there.
No, I'm talking about before you were born.
I don't know what was going on before I was born. I can't speak to any of that.
But it just seems like I was in Derby quite a bit in those years.
I don't know.
My parents never, you know, seems like I was never, well, I'm 33 1/3% sure I'm not. I mean, I don't get it.
But wouldn't they have been refreshed by your honesty, and instead of, your dad wasn't a guy who wanted you to just fall all over yourself to go hang out with him.
I'm not saying that at all.
Kind of.
I enjoyed, my mom was, I enjoyed her volatility to some degree, but I enjoyed being around my dad.
Of course, who didn't?
I was around him a ton as a kid. He took me to games, and we hung out all the time. Now, he said about 6 words.
But, I can relate.
That's okay. We didn't need to talk.
Were those 6 words about how bad you were doing in school?
No, my dad never cared about how I did.
Oh, man, to have that.
He actually thought I did very well in school.
Well, anyway, he can think anything if he doesn't know.
Well, he got notifications at times, but he didn't go off the deep end.
Why did you?
Because I was smart. He knew that. He knew I'd figure out
a way.
Didn't
you know I was smart?
No.
What
really,
do you think
I
now?
Really, I didn't know.
Do you know now that I'm smart?
Buttons, Max. You're okay. I mean, you're okay smart.
But I was never going to be a scientist. You know, I was never going to do anything involved in math. You should just be paying attention to what I did in English and journalism. Who cares about the other stuff?
Well, it's good to have a well-rounded education. Yesterday, we had a meeting at our building with college-age Rudd Scholars, who do a lot of tutoring for our Bright Lights education program. We're very involved with them. And there were probably 15 of them in the room, and we went around and I asked, where are you from, what high school did you attend, what class are you in at Wichita State, what are you majoring in? Simple stuff. So a couple of them, you know, a couple of them named kind of obscure high schools out in the state, and I said, oh, that's gave the nickname. And
We've tried that game on this show.
That impressed them. One said they were from Meriden, Kansas. And, of course, I...
Jefferson West, North?
Jefferson West.
Yeah.
Jefferson North is where?
I don't remember.
Nortonville.
Okay.
So, I mean...
I'll take your word for it.
Well, don't take my word for it. I just know that I'm right.
Okay. That's basically the same thing.
One said they were from... One said they'd grown up in Rexford, Kansas. Now, that's way out in northwest Kansas, where there's not a whole lot. What high school is in Rexford, Kansas?
I have no idea.
Golden Plains.
Really?
Yes, sir.
That's good. I would have known that 10 years ago.
Well, why do I still know?
I don't know. You retain information better than I do, perhaps.
Well, Max, use that as a promo.
Retain useless information and more than...
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Scott Merkin. He is MLB's beat writer for the Chicago White Sox, has been doing that job a while, and does very well at it. I'm curious what it's been like covering this futile effort put forth by the White Sox. Scott Merkin will tell us next. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Scott Merkin joins us on the IHOP hotline. He covers the Chicago White Sox for MLB.com. I mentioned we've had Scott on the show to preview the White Sox. Well, this is the first time we've had you on to talk about what has been a historically difficult season. How you holding up, Scott? What's it like covering this team?
Oh, you know, I'm doing fine. I mean, I was off for this Baltimore series, so I missed the big win yesterday. But, you know, it's you got to find the stories in the season. I mean, you know, you hate to sound glib, but we don't get paid by the victory. So, you know, you get paid a salary one way or the other, and you try and do the best job you can. And there's some good stories to be had. They've had some, you know, really good production minor league side this year. Maybe not across the board, but some really good individual performances. Garrett Crochet has been, I think, one of the better stories in baseball, even though he's understandably on an innings limit in the second half because he's not only crushed his single-season innings limit, he's almost doubled his career innings total so far. But, you know, there's been some good stories. You know, Grady Sizemore has added some energy to the team. So, yeah, but it's tough when they lose, you know, 21 in a row, 14 in a row, 12 in a row is the last one, I think. So it's tough to kind of find angles off the game, but you know you do what you can. They have it, put it this way, they have it tougher than I do, that's for sure.
So yeah, I was going to ask you about Grady Sizemore because, you know, I'm a Cleveland fan. He spent probably his best years as a player in Cleveland. Now he's a young manager, probably by all indications not going to get that full-time job. What have you observed about his demeanor as a guy leading the clubhouse in the dugout?
You know, I talked to him one-on-one Sunday, and he kind of said, you know, he hopes that he does a good enough job that he at least makes it a tough decision for the people who are going to make the call. And, ultimately it's Chris Getz and Jerry Reinsdorf, but there will be others involved as well. Yeah, I think it's just he commands a lot of respect because, you know, he's a guy who did it at that level and did it well, did it at a high level for at least 3 years. You know, I think he played three straight years of 162 games. I covered him. I mean, I didn't cover him directly, but I covered the Sox when he was tearing it up for Cleveland in 05, 06, and 07. And I just think he's, and it helped that he was there all year. You know, he was their major league coach, which is just kind of like a guy who helped out wherever they needed it. He worked with the outfielders defensively and just a little bit offensively and base running. So he was there all season and commands a lot of respect. And I think, you know, his record is not any better than what Pedro Grifol's record was just in a shorter time period. But I do believe that he's added a little extra life. And he even talked about that he could sense the morale was down. And I think what you were seeing, you know, when they were really fading is, you know, a team that kind of played hard every day. And it's a really good clubhouse. There's no infighting. It's just a really good group fighting for each other. But you could sense like it was almost like, okay, when is this going to turn? When are we going to lose? And I don't think that's been there with Grady. Again, they haven't won a lot of games at Grady, but I do think the belief is there that they can do it. So maybe that's half the battle, but you kind of need, you know, to enhance the team a little bit to win the other half of the battle.
Scott Merkin with us from MLB.com. He covers the Chicago White Sox for MLB.com. So they pretty much unloaded at the trade deadline. You look at this roster, you're aware of their minor league system. You have gotten to know Chris Getz. What do you think the off-season plan is? And then the second part of that question, I'm a Cardinals fan, and Cardinals fans are spoiled rotten, and I admit that. So we're up in arms about everything that involves the front office and ownership. I can't imagine what a White Sox fan would think right now about Jerry Reinsdorf. Where is all that?
Oh, I don't think it's just Jerry. I think it's the entire organization. And, you know, they have a right to be angry. And I think the White Sox front office and the White Sox as an organization understand that. You have to understand that when Rick Hahn embarked on the last rebuild, this is like rebuild three since I've been covering the team, but embarked on the one that started with the Chris Sale trade to Boston at the winter meetings just outside D.C. in 2016. Fans not only embraced that, they like thrived off it. You know, I mean, I've told this story 100 times now, but when Moncada made his debut, he had like an 8-pitch at bat. I forgot how it even ended, but he fouled a pitch off on like pitch 6 and got a standing ovation. So that's how people went nuts when they announced on there at the Sox Twitter account that Michael Kopech was making his starting debut that following Tuesday. They announced it on a Sunday. So to embrace it like that, to love it like that, and then get two playoff wins out of the whole thing. And I'm not talking two playoff series wins. I'm talking they won one game in Oakland in 20 and one game at home against Houston in 21, and that's it. And then to, you know, be on pace at least, let's not say probably, because you never know, they could finish drawing the 0-3 Tigers won five of their last six games to avoid 120, right? So you never know what can happen. But even if the season ended today, 109 losses, I mean, back-to-back 100 loss seasons, in the scope of baseball and only baseball, it is embarrassing, and they have a right to be angered. There's no question about it. And I understand what the fans are feeling. In terms of this offseason, I still think it's going to be another rebuild year, another kind of year to figure out what they have in their system. Some more guys will come up. They have the number one and number two left-handed pitching prospects in baseball, and Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith, who was the number five pick overall in this year's draft, in the 2024 draft. So you'll see guys, you know, you'll see a younger team, more guys come to the majors, but eventually they're going to have to spend. And I don't think, I don't mean they have to go out and spend $400. That'd be something, wouldn't it? $400 million. I could spend $400 on a player, to make this team great, but they're going to have to spend a considerable amount, maybe across four or five players to really enhance the roster. And they did that the first time. And it just didn't, for whatever reason, it just didn't work. Underperformance, injuries, you know, signings that didn't pan out like they wanted. But, you know, at some point that's going to have to happen, and maybe that'll be the offseason going into 26. But I think 25 is not going to be a lot of additions and more, you know, youth and development.
If you could point to maybe one thing as kind of the tipping point to where the White Sox go from a playoff caliber team in 21 and 2 and 3 years later, especially 3 years later, they're historically bad. What would that be? Is it Tim Anderson falling off a cliff? Is it injuries? Did it start with La Russa's hiring? Where do you think it started to go wrong for the White Sox?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. And I will say that if you're going to complain about Tony coming back, you know, after being out of the dugout for, 10 years, they did win 93 games and won the division in 21 with him at the helm. Now, again, it's not a solo operation, or I should say a solo operation. But they also had a ton of injuries that year, too. So it wasn't like he was handed a perfect team and just step back and watch it work. There was, you know, Aloy was out. Robert was out. Nick Madrigal, who was still a key player at that point, he went out all for extended periods of time. And they all, and they somehow, you know, now the rest of the division wasn't very good that year. A lot of injuries in the Cleveland pitching staff that year. Kansas City and Detroit just weren't good teams. And I think Minnesota had an off year, too. And then they finished 81-81, his second year, and he was very sick, unfortunately, which thank God he's healthy now and still part of the organization. But I just think everything you said, what I was just saying, you know, injuries to key guys, trades that didn't work, you know, free agency that didn't pan out, that kind of thing. So, and more so injuries. You know, I mean, Eloy Jimenez has had a quote before the season started about how he wanted to see himself, Robert, and Moncada all play at least 150 games this year. And I'm not sure, Aloy's not with the Orioles, but I'm not sure if together they're going to total just above that. Although Robert played, you know, has played a little bit coming back. But Moncada hasn't been there since April 9th, and Aloy's with the Orioles now. So just a combination of everything just did not work for them and leaves them where they're at.
Final moments here with Scott Merkin, MLB.com, Chicago White Sox beat writer. White Sox sitting at 32-109, although last night they handled the Orioles in Baltimore. So there are
32-109 sounds really bad, doesn't it? When you say it out loud,
it does. I tried to gloss that over quickly.
And the interesting thing is they have two huge wins under Grady against the Yankees and the Orioles. So go figure, baseball, right? I mean, two of their bigger wins are against probably, you know, well, I don't want to say two best teams because it's so hard to pick the best team in the American League right now, but two playoff teams, almost certainly, and they handled that. And they're 5-5 against the Guardians, who have a 4.5 game lead, I believe, on the Royals to win the division. Right now, yeah, that one's really high. Now they played three early without Stephen Kwan, so that could make a little bit of a difference. But still, 5-5, that they're 5-5 against the Guardians, 1-12 against the Royals, 1-12 against the Twins, and 1-9 against the Tigers. So figure that one out.
Wow,
amazing. So there are two players still on this roster who anybody would love to have. One of them, Garrett Crochet, you talked about him earlier. He has had a tremendous season. He's performed at a very high level. The other, Luis Robert, who has not mm-hmm. had a good season. He's missed a big chunk of it. And when he's been on the field, he hasn't been productive. Where do those two guys sit with the White Sox moving forward?
Crochet, I would, you know, it's tough because, I mean, when you have a guy like that who clearly sits at the top of your rotation, and I would argue in the first half of the season was probably as good as any starter in the game, as dominant as any starter in the game. And remember, this was a guy who told me when he was told he was the opening day starter, that was the first time he really knew he was going to break camp as part of the rotation, because there was speculation with him coming from the bullpen in only one full season that he would go to their AAA team in Charlotte to kind of start his, you know, speed up his workload there. And here you go. He's now one of the more dominant guys. But the thing is, they have him for two more years of control. So if you can't see yourself winning in those 2 years, it probably makes better sense to try and move him and get a huge return at this point, especially as great as he's pitched this year. And now you'll have in the offseason no innings constraints. He'll have the whole season behind him. He'll be ready to go next year and be ready to go, you know, full boat as a starter. Robert's an interesting case because he had a tremendous season in 2023, one of the more complete seasons I've seen from a White Sox player. And then he was hurt again this year, hurt himself in Kansas City, running out a double. And then, you know, he's been very uneven since he's come back. He's chased a lot more than he usually has. He's still running the bases well. I think he's got over 20 stolen bases. He's going to end up with like 15 to 18 home runs. But I wonder if teams, you know, he has 1 year left next year, and then he has two option years. So I wonder if teams may want to see him a little bit in the season before trading for him. Or I guess you could go, as Chris Getz said from when he took over, there is no one who's untradeable on this team. So anything is possible, except I would say guys like Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith. You know, they're here for the long haul. Probably Colson Montgomery, their top position player, is there. But anyone on that major league roster, anyone on that 40-man pretty much is fair game to be traded. So it'll be interesting to see the kind of interest he'll have in the offseason from other teams. There was considerable interest in Garrett right up till the last hour or so of the deadline this year from teams like the Dodgers and the Phillies, and they made good offers. So we'll see if those offers even jump up next year. And there'll be more teams in it, I think, too. Teams like the Cubs and the Rays, who were kind of, and still are, kind of borderline playoff contenders, may think, well, this is the guy who takes us from borderline to back over the top in 25.
Scott, thank you. I'm thankful that a veteran reporter such as yourself is covering this team. It'd be a really tough one for a newbie to step in and try to cover a team like this. We appreciate your time. Thanks again.
Sure, anytime. Take care.
Here's Dusty Trail from Bishop Carroll, head football coach. The Golden Eagles open play tomorrow night against Wichita Northwest, a difficult assignment. Dusty, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good afternoon, guys.
We're always always happy to talk with you and always happy to talk high school football. Last year was an anomaly for Bishop Carroll, 3-6, first losing record since I was a young man. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
So what happens this year to help turn this thing around?
Well, yeah, you know, obviously that's helped motivate the guys as far as, you know, putting in the work in the off season. You know, I've seen that. You know, we're going to be a young team this year. You know, so we're going to have typical young team struggles. I really like the attitude of our team the work they've put in the off season and their attitude going into the season. You know, they've been very positive, working tremendously hard. You know, hopefully that shows up on the field for us.
What did you learn last year, I guess, about yourself, but also about your program, and what kind of thinking did you do about, you know, reinforcing or reevaluating whatever it might be, the standard that you hold your program to?
Yeah, you know, definitely, you know, after last season, obviously, you know, after every season, I take a step back and you know, take a look at our program and what I'm doing in the program and the direction it's going. Obviously, I'm the leader of that direction. So, you know, after every season, I try to evaluate what we're doing and how successful that is. After last season, obviously, you know, that took some reflection on my part as far as, you know, what transpired throughout the season. I don't think we needed to make any wholesale changes as far as how we do things, but definitely we had to kind of step back reevaluate some things as far as how we do things, how we communicate to the kids, and make sure, you know, they're gaining an understanding of what we want them to learn. So we did make some changes going into this season as far as how we do those types of things, as far as the expectations are. You know, and my philosophy when you're going through tough times, then you got to go back to the basics. So that's something that we really hit hard, in the off season and in preseason, is just going back to the basics of football you know, what it takes to win games playing this game, and it's basically just blocking and tackling. So we took a hard look as a coaching staff as far as how we teach that part of the game, the blocking and tackling and the physicality part of the game, made some changes there. So far from what I've seen, I think it's made a positive impact and moved us in a positive direction. But as you know, Friday nights are going to be the proof of that. So we'll see how things go tomorrow night against a tough team.
Dusty Trail, our guest, head football coach at Bishop Carroll, been a part of that program now for how many years, Dusty?
Yeah, I'm going into my 30th.
Wow.
Wow.
So So I've been well, there a while.
Congratulations on it. Been a lot of success over that 30 years. So we have complete faith that Bishop Carroll will find its way back. But I wanted to ask you about coming off a season like you did last year, which nobody at Bishop Carroll really has a blueprint for. You open with Wichita Northwest. Would you rather open with maybe somebody not quite of the quality of Northwest, or is it good to just jump right in?
No, my philosophy is jump right in. I love playing good competition. It challenges our kids, teaches them, you know, how they need to prepare for top quality opponents, because that's where, you know, we want our program to be and feel it should be is competing against top quality. So I'm fine with jumping right into the mix. It's a good kind of barometer game for us, you know, and I know Coach Martin likes it the same way. You know, it gives us a good idea of where we're at as a program, what we need to work on, things we need to improve on, win or lose, you know, and how to compete at the highest level against these guys. You know, our standards, our expectations are the same every year. We expect to be competing in November. That's our goal every year. And, you know, you're going to be competing against top quality teams that time of the year. So might as well jump out of the gate and see what that looks like right away and where we need to get to.
You said it's a little bit of a young team and maybe they go through the growing pains. But do you see, I guess, how much improvement do you expect this year? And do you see in some of these young guys a group that can get you back to the top of the City League?
Yeah, you know, I just see a greater passion for the game in this group of guys. You know, they love playing the game, and they show that day in and day out of practice. You know, we put them through a pretty tough fall camp. Pretty physically demanding, pretty time demanding, and they've responded. And you know, that's what I like to see. Win or lose tomorrow, these guys are responding to everything that we're doing, and they're responding in a positive way. They like to play the game. They like playing with each other. You know, now the key is going to be for us. How well are they going to play together? You know, how well are you going to do your job? Yes, but how well is your job meshing with the guys around you on the field? You know, being a young team, that's always tough. You know, that's what you need for consistency is everybody working together and doing those things that – you know, are going to create good things, but they have to do it in the right way. They have to do it at the right time. And, you know, all that takes time to learn. And when you got new guys there, it takes even longer. So, you know, I'm also interested, this is going to be the first varsity start for several of these young guys. And so I'm interested to see how they're going to handle that as well. You know, there's going to be obviously some pressure there, some excitement, some fear. How are you going to handle that? You know, I think it's going to be a great learning experience for us, win or lose. You know, those are things that we can definitely build on throughout this season and continue to improve and get better and be where we want to be at the end of the year.
Dusty Trail with us one more. We know your time is limited, but I want you to give us three or four names of some personnel that we need to be watching out for.
Well, you know, a young man that has been in our program for 4 years, one of our few seniors. We've got a small senior class this year. But one of our few seniors who hasn't had a lot of opportunity to show what he can do because of injury throughout his high school career. But Carter Klumpney has had a really good fall camp. He's going to be starting at quarterback for us. And, you know, I think he's going to surprise some people. He's got a strong arm. He's getting smarter by the day about where to place the football and when to get the ball out. He's got a quick release, strong arm, you know, and he's athletic in his own way. He's not a speed burner by any stretch, but he's a strong kid, and he can extend plays. So, you know, we're really excited about him and showing what he can do. Also on the offensive side of the ball, we got up front, we got Zane White returning to lead a young offensive line, and we're going to need his leadership. But Zane's done a great job of, you know, trying to pull those guys together. And he and J.P. Carrillo up front, there are two of our few returners that have varsity experience there. So we're going to rely on those guys heavily, you know, to keep us moving in the right direction, keep us moving the chains. And another guy that we're looking at is Nathan Gertz on the offensive side of the ball. You're going to see him line up in a lot of different spots. He's a big kid. Again, not overly fast. He's not one of your speedier guys, but he's a 6'4", 6'5", guy. Play tight end for us. He'll play H-back for us. He'll play wide out. We're going to move him around a lot, see if we can create some mismatches. And, you know, he's got good hands and will make the contested physical catches. So he's going to play an important role for us to keep the chains moving as well.
All right, Dusty. Well, I got to intercede. I apologize. Okay. I wanted to get a couple more names, but we got to get to a break.
Right. That's okay. I get a little wordy sometimes. I apologize.
Hey, we're looking forward to it. Best of luck. Again, Bishop Carroll begins its season tomorrow night at home at Bishop Carroll against Wichita Northwest. That's such a regional rivalry, really two schools in the same neighborhood. Best of luck. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate having me on.
All right, Dusty Trail. We'll take a break. We'll come back hour number two. We've got picks coming up with the big fella and Jason Duda, as well as Max. So we'll all be making picks. That'll take us a little bit with 9 games. Back in a minute.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.